This is James Corbett of CorbettReport.com.
And this is James Evan Pilato of MediaMonarchy.com, and we welcome you to The New World next week for September 16th, 2010. This is our weekly video series where we give you three important stories and give you, hopefully, the tools to go do more research for yourself. And again, we'll remind you, NewWorldNextWeek.com is where you can get the high-quality versions of these in addition to YouTube and Blip TV. So, James, without further ado, we'll get right into it with a story that's on MediaMonarchy.com. By way of The Guardian, with huge hat tip and thanks, as always, to Cryptogon.com, one of the best alternative media sites out there. UK and Canadian troops investigated over heroin trafficking claims. Military police are investigating claims that British soldiers have been involved in heroin trafficking in Afghanistan. The Ministry of Defense said it was aware of unsubstantiated claims that troops were buying the drug from dealers and shipping it out of the country in military aircraft. An inquiry is focusing on British and Canadian personnel at airports in Camp Bastion and Kandahar. Security has been tightened with additional sniffer dogs being used. Afghanistan is, of course, the source of 90% of the world's opium. Some drug bosses in the country have implicated soldiers in the trade. Last year, the Sunday Times spoke to one dealer who said members of the military were the second largest buyers of heroin after foreign drug lords. The newspaper was told, quote, "The soldiers whose term of duty is about to finish, they give an order to our boss." A team of detectives from the Ministry of Defense Special Investigations Branch is believed to be heading the investigation into their claims. James, these claims are nothing really new, unfortunately, and one of our flashback links that I have in this post goes back to the Vietnam War, and this has happened throughout generations, and as we've talked about either in a small amount or in great detail, that generally wars fund Wall Street, and the drugs in those wars even more so fund Wall Street. You know, I even recall, if I can throw in a quick media reference, there was a not very good film from Ridley Scott a couple years ago called American Gangster, starring Denzel Washington, and it was about his rise through the ranks and becoming a huge drug lord in New York. The way he starts it off is he hooks up with the military to get them to ship heroin back in body bags. So he buys pure, uncut heroin so he can sell it at a better price, and he becomes the kingpin. But I just thought it was really fascinating that they put that into the film, showing that, again, this is on the record that this has happened, and here it is again. James?
Well, that's right, exactly. And this is certainly nothing new. And as you say, obviously, wars are funded by drug money that's laundered through Wall Street banks. So this is definitely nothing new. But I have the feeling that this, what we're seeing right now with this story, is just another one of those things where they crack down on the troops that are at Abu Ghraib committing torture instead of cracking down on the actual officers that were commanding it. And in the exact same way, you have some low-level troops that are being investigated for smuggling some heroin, whereas just recently on, I believe it was Geraldo, was interviewing some troops in Afghanistan who were talking about, yes, we're guarding the poppy fields because if we didn't do it, the Taliban would get it. So once again, this is another thing that's coming down from on high and is completely known about and completely part of the system. But there's some low-level troops that are taking advantage of their position, I guess. So they're going to get all of the blame for it. And like, it's going to be mission accomplished. We got them.
Like a lot of those situations where this story is going to come out, so we'll get in front of it, we'll control it, we'll burn the underlings, and case closed.
That's exactly what I'm thinking.
Nothing to see here. Move along.
Exactly. So we have to be aware that this is a much bigger story, and we have to understand that this is coming from the top, not from some low-level troops.
Mm-hmm. And again, the links are in there to do the research and show that, again, throughout history, generally wars seem to be about drugs, or at least our 21st or our 20th century wars have a lot to do with running drugs. So I suppose in a strange way that segues into our second story. We're going to hop over to foodworldorder.com with a story that comes from Georgia, and we're getting it from WSBTV.com out of Georgia. Georgia County sues farmer for growing too much food. DeKalb County is suing a local farmer for growing too many vegetables, but he said he will fight the charges in an ongoing battle the neighbors are calling Cabbage Gate. Fig trees, broccoli, cabbages are among the many greens that line the soil on Steve Miller's more than 2 acres in Clarkston, Georgia, who said he spent 15 years growing crops to give away and sell at local farmers markets. It's a way of life, like it's something in my blood, said Miller. In January of 2010, DeKalb County code enforcement officers began ticketing him for growing too many crops for the zoning and having unpermitted employees on site. Miller stopped growing vegetables this summer, and the charges were put on hold as the property rezoned. 2 weeks after approval, however, his attorney said the county began prosecuting the old charges, saying he was technically in violation before the rezoning. It should go away. I think it borders on harassment, said Miller's attorney, Doug Dillard. Miller now faces nearly $5,000 in fines, but he said he plans to fight those citations in recorder's court later this month. A county spokesperson said officials can't discuss the matter while it's in court, but neighbors were quick to come to his defense. When he moved here and I found out what he was doing, I said, Steve, you're the best thing that's ever happened to Cimarron Drive. And I still say that, said neighbor Britt Faisu. So, fortunately, in this kind of situation, neighbors and the community are coming out to support this. James, this is another one of those kind of strange, ridiculous stories that you almost have to tell folks, no, this isn't The Onion. This isn't satire. Yes, they're trying to regulate dust coming from farms. Yes, here they're prosecuting people for growing too much food. And part of me wonders if the real sticking point is that he's giving it away. You're cutting out the, you know, the bigger farm. That's, you know, that's really seems like when the crackdown comes is when you're avoiding the overall scheme. If I can make another kind of drug reference, not that I would support anything like crystal meth, but I always found the crackdown on crystal meth really interesting. And when I heard it pointed out that, well, it's something that people can pretty much make on their own, and it doesn't require the international drug cartel. So now, having said that, James, what's your take on this situation?
Well, yeah, you're right. I think absolutely the impetus here is to get people to stop even thinking about the idea of building a community based on growing their own food and sharing that food with others. I mean, that's absolutely anathema to the system that we're living in. So unfortunately for this person in Cabbage Gate, he's going to have to put up with all these zoning laws and everything, right? Because what else can you do? No, certainly this is the type of thing that more people should be fighting and more people should be doing. And in fact, this is going to be something I'm going to be talking about in my upcoming podcast episode being released this Sunday about building communities. And a big part of building communities is growing your own food. And in fact, I just talked to Dan Fox, of the editor of Urban Garden Magazine, talking about this very type of issue. So if people want to check that out, it's also up on my interviews tab right now. But suffice it to say, this is, I think, one of the most important things that people can be doing on an individual level to fight against the system we're in is simply to start growing your own food.
And this, again, kind of strikes me as the situation that if everybody started to do it, the prosecutions would be powerless. It's, you know, one of those situations like, what are you going to do? Are you going to arrest all of us?
Exactly. Exactly. Our strength is in numbers, and we are much more numerous than people might think because of the controlled media telling us that we're all alone. But no, there are a lot of people out there that want to do this. And if they go out there and do it, then yeah, absolutely, they will be powerless to stop it.
So, James, for our final story here, we're going to have a little bit of good news and a little bit of, I suppose, self-promotional news, but ultimately it's not about that at all. And I have this posted up on MediaMonarchy.com under the headline, Portland Group Burns 9/11 Commission Report at Anniversary Gathering. So I'll just maybe just give the quick kind of intro to this. Last Thursday, as this Quran-burning hysteria was reaching its fever pitch, I had the idea of burning the 9/11 commission book. I got the idea. I saw it on a KennySideshow.blogspot.com website, and I always want to give the hat tip to him. And basically, I got together with my friend Clyde Lewis, who's also a talk show host here in Portland, Oregon, of GroundZeroMedia.org. And in the course of basically 48 hours, we got together, we wrote up the press release, we sent it out to all the local media saying, Saturday on the 9/11 ninth anniversary, we're going to gather at such and such place and such time, and we're going to burn the 9/11 commission report. One of the main things I tried to put out there, and always kind of front and foremost, that ultimately, yes, this is a silly publicity stunt. That's why we're doing it. Burning any book is stupid. But I had the feeling that with this media hysteria, that if we told them about it, that they would be that they'd be really intrigued and would want to come check it out. There also happened to be a lot of concerts and other things going on in Portland during the weekend. So again, I also figured they're going to have trucks out anyway. So if we tell them we're doing, you know, maybe someone will come by. So fortunately, we had one local news station that came out, Coin6, K-O-I-N, out of Portland, Oregon. And they came out and they covered the story and they included us in their 9/11 anniversary coverage that Saturday night on the air. And again, it was just a well-timed, fortunately well-orchestrated, you know, media stunt that pulled off pretty well. And the comment I've gotten from most folks, aside from the, you know, congratulations, a lot of folks said that was a really fair piece of coverage from the media. They weren't looking to say, look at these people, look at these crazy 9/11 conspiracy theories. You know, none of those words were really used. They gave the intro and again gave the context of the media hysteria. And they, once we figured out, you know, that the Terry Jones burning wasn't going to happen, they then segue and say, well, one book burning did happen today. And they go on to cover the story and they give me a little quick chat on the air. And James, do we have a clip of that you want to run?
Let's do it. Let's go to the clip.
Meanwhile, another book burning did go forward today in Southeast Portland. Radio talk show hosts Evan Pilato and Clyde Lewis burned a copy of the 9/11 Commission report. They admit they used the hysteria surrounding the Koran burning to gain attention, but they say the 9/11 report has been used as a blank check for destruction of civil liberties at home and the waging of wars abroad.
The 9/11 Commission, even the commissioners are all on public record saying they were underfunded. They felt like they were being stonewalled, and they felt like they were being lied to. Max Cleland called it a national disgrace. So if the commissioners don't believe the official story, then why should we?
They say 9/11 can still be used to help heal the nation, despite the devastation it caused.
All right, excellent. Well, let me just say hats off to you guys for doing that. Absolutely excellent idea, and you did it well, and it got on the news, so, you know, lots of people saw it, so absolutely great work. And as the people say, it's a fair piece. There's no smearing of 9/11 truth going on there, and they're not using words like conspiracy, so I think it's great work, and my hats off to you.
They even used, as before they cut to me and used my little interview piece, the other things that he mentions in there about, you know, yes, we're using the hysteria to gain attention because they're using 9/11 and the commission report as a blank check. So they even kind of used my statements to build the news piece. And the last thing I'll just say about this is I think it does show that press releases can work. So if you're able to kind of get something together, yeah, the media isn't all-knowing and they're not necessarily looking to avoid you, but if you don't tell folks what you're doing, there's maybe no way for people to find out. So again, I'm thankful to all the folks that came out. I thank Clyde Lewis and just really happy that it turned out well as a positive event.
Absolutely. Let this be an example to others so that we can get hundreds of people doing this all around the country and imagine the effect that we can have en masse. So once again, hats off to you guys, and James F. Pilato, thank you again for all your help.
All right, man. Take care.